Well, I would expect that there are many ladies here with their hearts full of blessing and praise, for you have been well honored and loved by those who love you deeply and appreciate you. But there are probably others who their life has not turned out the way that they would have dreamed. And still others who have enjoyed tremendous blessing, but also significant loss. Mother's Day is upon us again, a day to honor one of the most important people in our lives, the one who gave us birth, who brought us through infancy, who celebrated each milestone, who answered our questions, who put up with our misdeeds, and through it all, gave us love. Mothers did all this for most of us, and we ought to thank her. But as wonderful as these things are, godly mothers have given us much more. They raised us to become a person God sought us to be, that we could be used of the Lord. And then this happened because she let us go. I think particularly of Marnie and Henrietta, who has recently said goodbye to their children and to their grandchildren as they have taken their next step to eventually end them on the other side of the world. We know a little bit about that, but not to the extent in which they face. But such is what they have been called to do. So I ask, are we willing to let go of our children when the time comes? Are you doing your job so that you would be able to wholeheartedly release them into the love, care, and guidance of God and others? I believe the most important thing a parent can do for his or her children is to pray for them. And when they are walking with the Lord or not, we can let them go. Think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. In her heart, she released her son to do the will of the Father, even to die on the cross. This is not only true faith, but it is the truest love of a parent. Mothers, the most loving deeds you can perform is to let your children go. I understand your mother's desire to nurture, but it must be submitted to the higher task of surrendering your children to the Lord. Granted, this is never easy, but true love never is. Even so, when you pray for your children, this not only helps them along life's way, but it brings you to a place of peace and assurance as you submit them into God's care. I want to invite you to have your Bibles open to one of the most familiar parables in Scripture, commonly called the prodigal son. It's found in Luke 15, and we just heard it read for us this morning. Thank you. Most of us know the story, how the youngest son of two brothers wanted his inheritance, and upon receiving it, packed up all his stuff and ventured off into the wide world of wonder. For a while, things were wild and exciting. But then the money ran out, and so did the fun. as it happened, when the money ran out, that there was also in the land a severe famine. For survival, he got a job feeding pigs. Just what every good Jewish boy would ever dream of. Not. But even then, he was having a struggle to survive. And he began to think of home. The main message of the parable speaks of the Father's love. And the purpose of most parables is to communicate one main truth, although there are some parables that communicate other truths, multiple truths, like the parable of the soil and the seeds. But for the most part, a parable communicates one main truth. From looking at this parable, I would encourage us to initially look at it from the perspective of this younger son. First, let's consider what he knew. In verse 17, "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger?'" I love that phrase, "but when he came to himself." Some translations have it, "when he came to his senses." But when reality really snapped into place, this is what he knew. He was in need. He was in trouble. Life had been a wild party, but not so anymore. Where were his buddies? Where were the parasites that were living off his inheritance? When the gravy train came to an end, they all jumped off. And he was struggling. He was struggling even for survival. And he got thinking of home. How good it was back there. Okay, maybe it wasn't as exciting as life had been recently for him. But it was way better than what he was experiencing now. But he had pretty much burned his bridges when he went. Or did he? And he remembered his father, how he properly cared for and provided for his employees. It's interesting that he would think of that. So was this a character statement of the confidence that he had in his dad, that he would always manage his affairs so that he would be able to properly take care of those to whom he was responsible for? Or was it a conclusion out of ignorance, giving no thought to the consequences or the chaos that he would have caused having taken his inheritance early? Or maybe it was just a factual statement that would have taken so little to make life so much better for him in the situation that he was facing at the present. But he thought, even if I could be a hired hand for my dad, even if I could get a job and be a servant, that would be far better than the situation that I'm facing today. However, he knew that he had really blown it. He knew that he had defiantly gone against his God and his Father by the way he had been living. So he began to rehearse his plea. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight." For he knew that he had lived and made some terrible decisions. Well, having considered what he knew, what did he feel? One of the situations that was strongly encouraged to us when we were taking courses in counseling is you never ever say, I know how you feel. I am constantly aware of that in counseling situations. I don't know the experience that the person has gone through. I don't know the emotional state that they are in. So to say, I know how you feel, is very presumptuous. But here I think we can be pretty certain that we know how the prodigal son felt. Because he says how he feels. In verse 18, I will get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Take me as one of your hired men. To say, I am no longer worthy to be called your son, is a powerful, telling statement. To say, he saw himself as having no rights, no privileges, no status at all when it comes to his family. He feels that he has given them just cause to disown him. Wow. That is an amazing statement. I have heard of parents doing that to children. In talking to people who minister to people who live on the streets of Vancouver, this thinking is way too common. A child is kicked out of the house and in a fit of anger or frustration is verbally disowned. But I don't know if I have ever heard of a child coming to the conclusion, this conclusion, alone. Not having been kicked out of their home, but leaving on his own accord, and then coming to the conclusion that I don't belong. That I have crossed the threshold and I cannot go back home as a member of the family. What a horrible state he must have been in emotionally. The best he thought he could appeal to some residual compassion that may have been tucked away somewhere in his dad's heart that still might exist, that he could appeal to that for a job as a servant. So, hoping for the best, he drags himself back home, no doubt wondering what lay ahead of him. So we've looked at what he knew, we've considered what he felt. Now let's look at what he experienced. This is such a wonderful part of the parable. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. This probably wasn't the reception that he was prepared for. But the son goes into his well-rehearsed lines. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And it would seem, for the most part, that the son or the father doesn't even hear him. But I'm confident that he did. He heard his confession of sin and his plea for forgiveness. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. What the son experienced is not what he was expecting. He didn't have to crawl or grovel for a job. He was welcome home. He was loved. He was honored. He was celebrated home as a lost son. Such is the heart of our Heavenly Father. We see this in a parallel parable just before the prodigal son in Luke 15, 8 to 10. Or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I have lost." In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The question is, who is in the presence of the angels of God? Where is this joy coming from? And I would suggest to you that this joy that is in the heavens, that is happening in the presence of the angels as God, is coming from the very throne itself. God himself is overjoyed with delight when the lost is found. But in this story, in the prodigal son, not everyone was rejoicing. Let's look at the heart of the older brother. This is the sad chapter of the story. As the older brother comes home from a hard day in the field, he hears the sound of a party. He calls over one of the servants and asks, "What's going on?" And he hears that his younger brother had returned home and his dad is hosting a welcome home party. Upon hearing this, he is fuming mad. And he is unwilling to go even into the house. His father, hearing of this, comes out to him and pleads with him. But the brother responds, "Look, all these many years I have served you and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." I don't know if this older brother feels unloved, but he most certainly feels unappreciated, possibly even taken for granted. But he doesn't realize the position that he is in. And the father responds, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and to be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." He may not have been yet handed the deeds to the place, but all that his father owned was his. As far as wealth was concerned, as far as comfort and security in this world was concerned, he was a very wealthy man. And though his younger brother greatly grieved his father's heart, he still continued to love him. And having received him back, he had to celebrate. Well, what does this parable tell us? The main point of the parable is a picture of God the Father's heart and how he so responds to those who come to him. When one of his children run off in rebellion, his heart is grieved but filled with rejoicing on his return. Yet at times it is sad how the rest of the body responds. For we too should be celebrating the occasion. Praise the Lord for the Father's forgiving heart and for his undying love. Oh, I don't say that lightly. Praise the Lord for the Father's heart and his undying love. If you have been running in rebellion to God and his ways, turn back to him in repentance, and he will welcome you with open arms. And I hope that we would too. God is a good God. If you feel that you have been missing out on the good things of life, being chained to the Father's will, let me share with you, the devil is a hard and vicious taskmaster. The commercials and the stories of a life lived seeking this world may sound exciting, but the underbelly of sin is not pretty. Also, I expect few, if any of us, really know and appreciate what we have in Christ. It's not the things of this world, but it is things far greater. Having accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we are a child of God. We are loved. We are free from damnation and the guilt of sin. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are delivered from darkness. We can be confident that the work of God that God has started in us, he will finish. We have been given not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. We are given grace and mercy. We have the peace of God that surpasses understanding. And there is so much more. Well, let me try to take us out of the parable for a moment and ask, what is the brother's problem here? The older brother, what is his problem here? I would suggest that he doesn't feel appreciated. He has been taken for granted. Maybe even feels neglected, possibly even abused. Many people, especially the quiet, faithful servers, may feel this way, possibly even in the fellowship of the church. And who may very well feel at the top of that list? Mothers. They have been so faithful, yet are so often unappreciated. So let me ask, do our loved ones in our home know that they are loved? I know that it is Mother's Day, and I hope that you are honoring your mothers today. But also, what about the others in our families, in our homes? Why not have a just because you're home party? Or because you are you party? Or because you are ours party? Or because you are loved? Or maybe just because we appreciate you party? Why do we have to wait for something big, special, or exciting, or for someone who has been away to come home before we celebrate them? And the celebration itself doesn't have to be anything significant, doesn't have to be anything big or huge or expensive. Maybe it can just be something that you know that they enjoy doing, or would appreciate. Maybe it's their favorite meal, or a special cake or dessert, or maybe just focusing on giving them some time, but make sure they understand that they are special, and you're doing this because they are special. And you want them to feel loved. You want them to feel special. Let your imagination go. How would they enjoy how can you show them your love? It's not too early, nor is it too late. It doesn't even need to be a member of the family. It could be a special friend or a faithful friend. I love celebrations. Not that I'm a party animal. That's not what I'm saying. I love celebrations when I get to see people being honored and blessed and encouraged and loved. I think that we have within our ability an opportunity to greatly encourage one another, to bless one another, and showing them uniquely our love. So, I conclude with my title. Have you killed the fattened calf lately? Let's not wait until it has to be something of huge significance for us to show our appreciation to those that we love. Let me pray. Lord God, we bow before you with gratefulness for your word and for the encouragement and counsel that we can draw from it. Thank you, Lord, for your unfailing love for us. Even when we disappoint you, even grieve you, your love is faithful. You continue to show your love for us. You continue to wait for us to come back to you. You love us so richly. Lord God, help us to learn from you. Help us to take advantage of opportunities to celebrate the significance of what other people mean to us in their lives. Lord God, we have the opportunity of living this life in the fellowship and the community of others. Others to whom we love and enjoy. May we learn of you and learn from you. Lord, thank you for the many blessings that you give to us. Thank you for the mothers that have been so faithful. And we pray that we might be quick to express to them our rich and deep appreciation. We praise you, Father, for your unfailing love for us. And Lord, I pray that if there's be anyone here that has been running in rebellion against you, that your spirit and your grace and the knowledge of your mercy might rest upon them. And they would turn back home. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.